And now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's In the Green Room. Green is in, but what does that really mean for you? Join the gang for a fun and energetic half-glass, half-full perspective to what and how sustainability is the lifestyle for the future. It can really affect everything you do, from your health, wallet, environment, money, even your morals. So our goal, to help save the planet one show at a time. Now, welcome to the Green Room.
Woo! Welcome, everybody, to In the Green Room, and I'm Kinga. I'm hosting the show tonight with Chet.
How's it going, everybody?
Whoop, whoop. Jennifer.
Hello.
And the science sci guy, Jason.
Greetings.
And Jam.
What's up, everybody?
We miss you, Quita. I hope you're having a happy night, and I hope you're listening right now, but we are missing you, and it's going to be a great show. That's obviously going to be a fun time with this guy right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what is our show about?
I don't see anyone here.
The show tonight is about our science march that'll be happening this Saturday, April 14th. And it's going to be down at the Capitol. And science is always saving the planet. In how many ways? Do you guys have anything to do?
I'm sure there's some scientists.
Can anybody chime in here?
Well, I mean, we wouldn't be able to broadcast everybody without science. So that's pretty nice.
Word.
Thank you, Rockin' Robin. We got to get you a mic so you can like say hello.
Robin says hello.
So our in-house musician, Jam, will be playing tonight a couple songs.
Yeah.
And he's moving to California. Tell us
what
you're up to.
I'm moving to L.A. On April 27th. And I'm going to be recording the rest of my record out there. And yeah, so I'm just going with the flow and doing that.
Well, you look like such a surfer. You're definitely going to surf out there.
Oh, for sure.
Okay,
I've only surfed a couple times, but I think I'm going to pick up surfing.
You just look like a natural, so it'll probably work out.
All right.
Fine.
Yeah, there we go. I'll go with the flow, man.
Well, he said that he's going to have an extra room.
Literally.
We can all come and hang out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You guys are welcome anytime. It'll be the green room. It'll be real green.
But he promises to come back
saying.
Once a month and be on the show.
Smelling what you're stepping in.
Hey!
Wow! Rockin' Robin. She's got it going on.
Hey, it's legal in California, so. You know, oh, wait, that's not what
surfing
I was talking
about. Surfing is totally legal.
It's so legal. So legal.
So apparently there's our show tonight is all about this march for science and science fair. And there are some words that are banned by the Center for Disease.
Center for Disease Control and the Department of Agriculture, right.
And we're not going to tell you these words because we're having a game tonight.
Right, right. So we're going to have the listeners be able to know the list of words, and our game's going to be Taboo for Science.
Mm. So we're going to take all our guests out of the room and not let them know what the words are. We're going to let all of you know that are listening.
Nice.
And yes, and so we want you all to comment, and then we're going to let them guess. And Jennifer is going to partake in this, right?
Yeah. But you know what I wanted to say, too? I think he's so clever. I love the name. I love that it's Taboo for Science because the words are words that have been banned.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty clever. That was a good play on words there. Good job.
Thank you.
So, Chet, why do you think science is so important? To save the planet. You had you were very vocal earlier today.
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious, but I mean, without that being said, science is not something that you have to believe in. It's like at work and every day in our lives, whether you're talking about like loved ones that depend on medications or just even driving to work, like all these things were made possible by science, and science is going to be the thing that progresses us further in the future and will solve crises and stuff like that. So I don't know, it's kind of obvious, but
yes,
still needs to be said.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I want to welcome Jody. She's Jody. In the house. She's our ASU whoop, whoop. intern. Woo! Say hello, Jody. And then we've got Bailey.
Bailey.
Say hello. She's all the way from U of A, Tucson, and she's a photographer in house. I want you both to come and say hello. Bailey, do you want to come say hello real quick and tell us why you think science is important? Go ahead and sit down there.
Well, hello. I've always been like super interested in science ever since I was a little kid. It's really cool, you know, to see the kind of experiments and all the proof and everything. It really goes to show, you know, you can't, you know, science speaks for itself. And it's just all about the proof that it actually is saving the planet, all of our little efforts that we do. So it's good.
And that's what we're here for. We're saving the planet.
One show at a time.
And Bailey has her younger sister here today. Welcome.
Yes, Lizzie, my little sister from Seattle.
All the way from Seattle.
Came down for her spring break, so we've been hanging out. Came to the show tonight.
Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you.
Of course.
So how can people find you for photography?
Oh, my website's www.baileymay.com, and it's Bailey May Photography on, like, all social medias, so.
She is so artistic with her photography. I every picture, I'm like, oh, my God, how did she make me look that good?
Oh, thank you. It's not that hard.
She does wonders. So thank you. And now we want to hear from Jody, our ASU intern. I'm going to ask you a question about science. So, Jody, why do you think science is important?
I think basically, like, I want to do a huge, like, ditto to what Chet said. And I just think that, like, science and sustainability go along, like, hand in hand.
How?
So, I mean, everything, like, you were saying, like, cars and stuff like that, that's science that created it. But then sustainability is creating ways to make you still have that option. And science is helping to incorporate more sustainable ways of doing that. So.
I love it. Yeah. And you're in your second internship with us because of what? Why?
I don't know where you're going with this.
Why did you choose to be with us a second internship?
Oh, well, I mean, because I love sustainability, and you guys kind of got me to take a minor in sustainability.
Thank you.
And so you guys have inspired me. Yes. And I love you guys. So, yeah.
Love you too. So thank you so much for being here. We love you.
Thanks for having me.
You're awesome. All right. Well, back to our March for Science. Jason, should we introduce some guests? Do you want to introduce our guests?
Yeah, so we're really happy that, you know, because we're all having the attention for March for Science, and that's able to call to the attention. People are trying to help science be in policy. So the goals of the March for Science, the first goal is to, where's the paper? Okay. The first goal is to have science and policy. That was kind of like the red flag saying we need a March for Science. That was the red flag. But then there's other things that I love. It's the other goals are kind of try to be able to help the science be in policy. The second goal is to have the public be more engaged with science. So that's why the March for Science will also be a science fair. And so that's why.
So how can we get people more engaged? How can we get them there? What's your suggestion?
Go to marchforscience.com.
I got one.
Or what? PHX.
Well, I mean,
marchforscience.com.
Everybody thinks polar bears are really cute, and they're running out of ice to live on. So
do it
for the polar bears.
There you go. True. That's a good one.
Do it for the polar bear.
I was reading an article that they think polar bears might be extinct like within like 25 years.
No.
No, yeah.
Yes. Don't say that. That's terrible.
They're also running out of food.
Yes.
They're running out of food and ice.
Yes.
That's absolutely terrible.
I mean, they're like the cutest animal, I think, in the wild.
The last white rhino just died too, right? I mean, that's terrible.
How are these species
like dying? It's because of humans. I mean, it's like we're this bacteria on Earth. It's terrible.
Well, that's why we're here.
We're about positive. Yes, yes.
And we're about
Sorry,
solutions.
I digress.
And that's why Jennifer is going to be very vocal and jam about how if you're a vegan, which I'm trying to go more vegan, and I'm,
it's awesome.
You're watching me. You're watching me when I'm with you too. I eat all vegan. Correct.
Yeah.
We did last night and today.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
So
delicious.
Tell the world why they need to go vegan, or at least have a couple meals a day.
Yeah.
Even if you don't go all three meals vegan, do one or two meals a day vegan. It really helps our planet. Why?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Why go vegan? There's so many reasons. I mean,
Jennifer knows one.
I think like the biggest one would be obviously for sustainability. I mean, if you want to think about the future of our planet. It is by far one of the easiest and most impactful life decisions that you could make for future generations and for the longevity of our planet. I mean, it helps with, as far as agricultural concerns and, you know, how much water we use and how much, like, methane and CO2 is being released into the atmosphere because of trucks driving around and the massive amounts of cows and pigs and all those different animals that are out there that are just in these like concentration camps, and it's just burning so much fuel. And it's just, it's really taking a toll on our planet and our, on our bodies too, actually, because we, the human body, scientifically, is not meant to consume as much meat as we do. It used to be a delicacy. And then when the Industrial Revolution hit, meat consumption went through the roof because there's a huge market for it. And that's all that it is. And it still is. It's all money. It's just, you know, that's what it comes down to. The number one, this is just like dropping facts right now. Could you guys guess the pharmaceutical company's number one customer? What, who that is? Who is the pharmaceutical company's number one customer? Yes.
I don't know.
The meatpacking industry.
Oh, okay.
They use so many antibiotics and steroids. Yeah. They consume, I think it's like billions and billions of dollars worth of steroids and antibiotics and stuff like that. And so it's all just money. It's all about money, the almighty dollar. And that's really why we're so indoctrinated to eat as much meat as we do. So
I just looked up a fact that Jennifer and I went over today at lunch. Does everybody know?
Hold on, I was going to serve that up.
Oh, you were? Okay,
I
go ahead, Jennifer.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Good.
Okay, because actually...
Go, Jennifer. Go.
Jam actually totally, you kind of lobbied, you know, like, what's it called, like in volleyball, where one person like tosses it up and then the other one...
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Spike parlay? It? I don't know.
Like when you, you know, the one person like kind of pops it up
spike
and the other
it.
One
you spike it.
No, no, it's... That's why it's called volleyball.
Volley?
You volley it.
Okay.
You volley it.
Anyway, he volleyed it up or whatever. He set me up for this. Okay, I was like, the methane and the CO2. So I was going to, so I looked up some science-based facts using science, peer-reviewed science. Evidence-based science and peer-reviewed science. Okay. And so I have like a tip and I had some like facts. So the tip is like, it's in regards to like how you can kind of make a little change, a little thing you can do that would have the same impact as taking same impact on reducing carbon dioxide as taking 500,000 cars off the road. Okay. Mm. And so that one tip is to like, if every American, well, I guess it's every American, if every American dropped one serving of chicken per week from their diet, it would save the same amount of carbon dioxide emissions as taking 500,000 cars off the road.
Wow.
That's incredible.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's not even going vegan. That's just eating one less serving of chicken a week.
Chicken or beef. So, absolutely.
A couple of the little facts about carbon dioxide.
That's what I'm trying to say to people, because some people don't want to go all vegan, Jennifer.
Man, I am legit like a green machine. I'm just realizing this.
So Jam and Jennifer, I know you guys are 100% vegan. And most of the people I know are not. But if we can get them to just do one or two meals.
Yeah, absolutely.
One or two meals. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm asking, because a lot of people won't go 100% vegan.
Yeah.
And some of these hardcore vegans, like you guys, don't understand why people still want to eat meat. And if they could just start with just doing one or two meals a day, then we'll get them eventually to go vegan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Let's be happy if we can just get one or two meals a day. Yeah. Rockin'.
What you focus on. Yeah. What you focus on expands. So.
Exactly.
The reward system.
All right. What's the next thing?
So the couple of things you were talking about, methane and carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. So I also learned, so we've maybe heard this before, that if one person exchanges a regular car for a hybrid, they'll reduce their, will reduce carbon dioxide emissions by 1 ton per year for that each person, right? Okay, so 1 ton of carbon dioxide, you know,
seems like a lot.
Emissions is a lot.
Yeah,
that is a lot.
Just by changing cars. But, you know, not everybody is ready to do that and you want to drive your car, whatever. But here's even bigger, obviously, I think we talked about this last time. If one person exchanges eating meat for a vegan diet, like a plant-based diet, they can reduce their carbon dioxide footprint by 1.5 tons per year.
Wow.
So that's even
bigger. Are you guys out there listening? And by the way, I forgot to tell everybody, if you're listening right now, we need you to please comment, share, and tell your friends about our show, because we're trying to make everybody aware of how they need to make changes, right?
Absolutely.
So please share, comment, like, and tell your friends about our show and get everybody on the same mission to make changes, because we're not just sitting around complaining. We're saying, let's make changes.
Absolutely.
Let's do something about this. Yeah. Let's stop using straws. Let's start being vegan. Let's march for science.
We're raising consciousness.
That's right.
So the next
one. There
you go. Yeah. So the next one's not really a tip, but I'm wondering if Chet knows this, because you know a lot of stuff. Okay. So methane. Okay. So chickens, turkeys, pigs, and cows. This is all ties back into the skipping a serving of chicken a week. Mm-hmm. So chickens, turkeys, pigs, and cows are collectively the largest producers of methane in the U.S. Okay, so here's what I was wondering if you knew. That methane is 20 times more powerful at trapping heat in the Earth's atmosphere than carbon dioxide.
Wait, repeat that. Get that in chat.
Methane is like a much worse greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide.
Oh, absolutely.
Basically, the worst.
I need you to repeat that one for me because you went really fast. Could you repeat that one?
Okay, yeah. So methane is 20 times more powerful at trapping heat in the Earth's atmosphere than carbon dioxide.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a much worse carbon, or it's a much worse greenhouse gas. Like,
so basically,
global warming.
Everybody just needs to stop farting, and then everything will go back to normal.
And then, okay, here's the next one.
Is that what you do all the time, Jan?
Yeah, I hold it all in.
Yeah, just hold it all in. And here's the next one, which is even crazier. Okay, because we're like, oh, that's like probably the worst thing. No, wait. So nitrous oxide is actually 300 times more powerful at trapping heat in the Earth's atmosphere than carbon dioxide. And the meat, dairy, and egg industries, ties back to chicken, produce 65% of worldwide nitrous oxide emissions.
This is
so, like, I didn't even know that.
I would drop the mic if it would drop.
We need a sound.
That
fucking Robin, thank you.
That is not funny laughing gas, that's for sure. That's crazy.
Isn't that like the same stuff from Fast and Furious movies?
I could take some nitrous over here, though.
No, that's 35% is from the Fast and Furious movies.
Just kidding.
So, everybody out there that's listening, inthegreenroom.green wants you guys to be out there. Please, I'm asking is make one meal vegan. Mm. At least if you never eat vegan, just this next week, just make one meal a day.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's breakfast, lunch,
or
dinner.
Try it.
To go vegan.
And it just means plant-based. So which is healthier for you anyway. Your heart will thank you.
It's less expensive.
Your kids and family. People who like you will hate you. And the people who don't like you will be, like, they'll just be more mad at you because you'll probably live longer. And then
it makes your skin look better. Yes.
Kinga, I just have to say how like proud I am of you,
right?
Because I feel like you're so educated now about all
you.
Of this stuff.
Thank
it
you.
Just, it makes me so happy.
You
know, it's awesome. Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Okay, so I want to ask Bailey if she, since the last time she said she was going to try to do a little more vegan, are you going vegan for one meal a day?
Yeah, actually, I don't really eat meat that often. Like, I might have it like once a week, once every like 2 weeks. Like, I really don't have it that often.
Chet's
really
like
you know,
this is a hard
everything.
Endeavor
so, yeah.
for me.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And what about you?
I've been a meat addict for.
Oh, I'm
I've been sober for 5 minutes.
Literally. No, but actually, one thing I was going to say coming from a carnivore is that you actually feel like a lot better throughout the day if you start your breakfast like plant-based. I've been doing that
really?
A lot lately.
Oh, that's
been.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, been. When you, I notice when I start the day off with like some heavy like omelet or something, I'm a lot more tired and I have a lower energy level.
Interesting.
But if I just eat meat at dinner usually and then throughout the day, I don't really go for any animal products. And it actually, I have a lot higher energy for my workouts and everything. So I recommend it.
Cool.
That's
awesome.
Pretty much how I got there in the first place, how I got
really?
To be vegetarian, remember?
That's interesting.
It was a very similar thing. But you know what? I had this thought earlier today, and I hadn't said it to you yet, Kinga or Chet or anybody. I actually kind of had it the last show, but I had this thought today that next time I'm on, I think what I'll do is buy up a bunch of Beyond Meat burgers, cook them up, and bring them in for everybody.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so every
Chet
time.
Would freaking love it.
I would love that.
You don't even know, but I think you will love it.
You'll bring snacks every time you come that are vegan? I love it.
Okay, yeah, snacks every time. Whatever.
Yes. Okay, I'll bring the wine.
And if
you
don't
bring...
like it, I'll just go across the street to City Hall.
Yeah, we'll have to get your honest feedback. But it's funny because it's actually a really, they're impressive. And I've got several friends, you know, guy friends that are like older guy friends, that are totally not vegan, but at the same time, like, they've been over to my house plenty of times for, like, brunches and dinners, and, you know, when I eat stuff, they're like, this is awesome, whatever. But they learned about it, too, and they're like, oh, you know, Bill Gates is backing this company. These burgers are amazing, and I think we told one of the guys about it, had him over. He buys them now. He, like, sends us, like, notices when he's at Whole Foods and they're on sale. He's like, here, you're stocking up. And then the other guy just learned about it, you know, a couple weeks ago, and he's like, yeah, those are really good. So it's kind of exciting, but I'm
See,
excited for you guys to try.
Because it can actually taste good. So we have to relate this back into science, and we've got to get our Science March guys on here. But we're going to go to a song. But first, I want to hear from Jody, because I know she's been going vegan.
Nice.
I've been with her, and I'm very proud of her. Talk about how you're making changes.
So not as much vegan, because I love my cheese, but for Lent, because I'm Catholic, I gave up meat. So that whole time, yeah, I wasn't eating meat at all. I still am trying not to. I've only had it a few times since Lent's been over. But
that's
I think
I'm sustainable. Thank you, Jody.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I think I'm
saving the planet.
One show at a time.
Thank you. All right. After we go to a song with Jam, we'll have Jason introduce all our guests, and he's going to be doing a rap or rock.
Neither one. It's a musical.
Okay. Oh, that's right. A musical. It's a musical this time. It's a musical.
Not even close.
He's like, quitted. He likes to correct me.
Next week, I'm going to do opera. I'm always changing it up.
I love it. All right, Jam, what are you playing?
Stealing his mic from you.
Yes.
It's mine now. No. I'm going to play... I'm going to play a happy song for you, Kinga. This one's called Golden Child. So here we go. It's another warm one, let the time run with summer outside. Can you keep me cool with an ice pool and Bob Marley up high? I just want to float with my folks in the hopes that today we'll never ever say goodbye. Let us reminisce in the bliss of the times of our lives, and it sounds like this. A symphony of laughter and love pervades your day. Let's have fun in the sun when we're done. We can feel its positivity. We can see palm trees dance in the summertime breeze. Let your smile shine, let it shine all the time. Let your smile shine. Whoa, yeah, yeah. Let your smile shine, let it shine the time. Let your smile shine. No matter where you come from, in the long run, this love becomes peace. It's all universal and eternal, like the birds and the bees. Gotta let it go, let it flow, let it be out to sea and catch a melody. Our worries are so far from what's deemed ours. Let your smile shine, let it shine all the time. Let your smile shine, whoa, yeah, yeah. Let your smile shine, let it shine all the time. Let your smile shine. Let your smile shine, let it shine all the time. Let your smile shine, whoa, yeah, yeah. Let your smile shine, let it shine all the time. Let your smile shine, ooh, 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 ooh. Let it shine, yeah.
I love your music.
You can find me if you type in Jam Now on Google or Spotify or iTunes or Facebook. Just type in Jam Now, two words, and check it out. Enjoy the music. Enjoy the good times. I don't know.
We love it. What's your next song?
You want me to play another one right now?
You're going to close out.
I don't know. I got
two songs. Do you have two more songs?
I can play as many songs
as
you want.
Two more songs. Yeah. Okay. So I just want to get excited about what song's next.
I don't know. You tell me what's next. Whatever you want.
Well, I like positive, happy love songs.
Jam is so mysterious.
I know. Right? What's going to be next?
Wait, do you know the Eric Clapton?
I don't know that one.
What?
I didn't know if that was.
No,
okay.
We want to hear some more Jam originals.
Yeah, Jam originals.
I appreciate
that's right.
it.
Yeah,
I'll play a new song that I've never played before.
Oh, okay. That's great.
That's what I want to hear.
It's not done yet, but I'll still play it.
And what about the Green Room song you wrote for us?
I can play that.
Can we end that in our show with
that?
Yeah,
I have to remember it a little bit, but yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, cool.
All right, so we want to get back to Jason introducing all our science guys here.
Yeah, so there are some science people who weren't able to make it today. So I'm first just going to recognize those people. Then I'm going to have Don Balance that, take it away with letting us know about more about the March for Science. And then I'm going to get up to give the seat away to our candidates who are running for science. First, I just want to recognize who could not be here today, Kathy Moore-Almeida, who's running for Congressional District 25 Senate seat. Cipriano Miranda is running for Senate seat 27. Hazel Chandler, seat 20 in the House. Blake Sacha, who's running for 12. Talia Fuentes, who's running Congressional District 9. Harold Tabernini, who's running for Congressional District 8. So anyway, but if you want to see those people, you can go to the March for Science, and that's where
there
we're going to
have Don March for Science.
Take it away. We're telling us
so
about
Don,
what
introduce
what
yourself.
At the March
Say
for
hello.
Science.
Hello. My name is Don Balanzat. I am the public relations director for the March for Science here in Phoenix.
Yay, welcome.
And yeah. Hey, thanks for having me.
Why do we want to go there? Do we all want to march? Do you want to include the whole world out there?
Oh, yes, for sure. So actually, last year, over 600 cities across the planet participated in the March for Science.
He told me they were marching in space.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell
we
us about
did
that.
Also
That's
have
exciting.
That. Yeah, no, it's really just like this huge conglomeration of humans all across.
Excitement. It's exciting.
Yeah, no, it's huge.
Is it kind of new? It started last year, correct?
It started last year, yeah. Okay. And that was the first time it ever happened. And actually, it's the biggest demonstration of science that's ever happened in the history of humanity. So we're very proud of that fact. Yeah, over 1 million people came out last year. Here in Phoenix, over 14,000 people came. So that was a huge deal.
And how many do you expect this Saturday?
This Saturday, we expect around 3,000 throughout the day.
So what do you want to say to everyone that's listening to get them out there? You get them excited.
I want to say that we are going to have a lot of distinguished speakers. We're going to have a lot of fun science stuff. We have a forensics lab. We have a social insect group from the School of Life Sciences at ASU. We have a whole bunch of robotics and engineering organizations from across the valley that they're going to be there to show you some really cool stuff.
That sounds really exciting. Okay. Yay, Pearl!
Hi, everyone.
Pearl. Pearl's here. She's our new GM.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, Pearl.
I'd love when you grab the mic.
For the non-science people, why should we be coming out there?
Okay, so you guys were talking a lot about why science is important, right? And
yes.
It, you were like, oh, it's very obvious. Like, even the broadcast that we're sending here is actually based on research from over a century ago, right? But for me, and this is me talking as just a personal citizen, not the March for Science guy, right, is the culture. Right? It gives us something to defend. It gives us something to think and expand our minds about, right? Even the music you listen to now is enhanced by science, by digital creativity. So, I mean, no matter where you look, no matter who you are, science has affected you in some way. And I think that you should celebrate the role that it plays in your life.
Well, science is saving the planet. Every day we have all these new ideas, and I think we have to really appreciate our scientists out there
right. That
are making the world a better place. Yes. So thank you so much for being here. So how
thank
can people get a hold of you?
I have another question. Will there be games and prizes?
There we go.
There will prizes. I'm not so sure, but
okay,
there
but
will definitely
be
a lot of interactive hands-on things for you to do.
Okay, so good for kids, good for
oh yeah, wonderful
parents,
for
the whole
kids.
Thing, family thing.
I guarantee you, if you're going to bring your kids, they are going to have a great time.
If you want to get some merch, if you want to purchase and donate for the March for Science, you can go to phxmarchforscience.com mm-hmm. or marchforscience.com. It's where I got my wonderful knit brain hat. Yeah.
Yeah, and we also have
you know. I love it. You look so funny. Like, it cracks me up every time I look at you.
Well, that's good. Yeah, because when I put on the goggles, I can't see me, so I'm happy someone enjoys.
Are you going to do your, wait, it's not a rap, it's not a rock, it's a...
It's a song. We're going to cover Be Our Guest, but Scientess.
And you're
going
to wear all that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, exactly. So guys, tune in. And also, once again, share, comment, like, spread the word about In the Green Room. We're trying to make everybody aware about making this world a better place. Thank you so much. Chet, I haven't heard from you. Don't you have any questions over there?
Well, I'm excited to hear more about the March for Science. So I was letting us get to that.
Thank you. Okay. Well, can you introduce yourself as well?
Oh, sure. My name is Scott Manor, and I'm a candidate for Congressional District 5, and I'm a lifelong lover of science. So it's something that is very important to me personally, and it's something I think also that's deeply it matters in the world today, not just because of saving the planet and the technology that we have, but because understanding reality and understanding how to critically interpret news when you have disparate sources that disagree with each other, that's science. That's an application Absolutely. Of science.
Absolutely. And you two, how do you collaborate? Are you guys, do you work together?
No, actually, but we've both studied physics pretty intensely.
Are you ASU students?
I am actually a laboratory coordinator at ASU in a physics lab.
Wow. Exciting. And how about you?
A long time ago, I taught when I was a graduate student at ASU in physics. And when I was an undergrad, I took physics there. So I've been on both sides of what he's doing.
And what do you do now?
Right now, I'm on my own. I have a robotics company. And
wow.
So we're doing sort of basic research now for a few more years. And we have a spinoff from that that's sort of like Nest for lighting. We're called Noir Lighting.
What is the name of the company?
Oh, Noir. Like, black in French, noir.
Okay.
Lighting. Yeah.
So how do you spell that?
N-O-I-R.
Okay.
And we're going to ship pretty soon, maybe in a few months. But that's an application of science as well. So that's machine learning and power control, minimizing energy and maximizing this subjective experience.
And will you be out at the march with your examples of this?
I'm just going as a citizen, and I'm also speaking.
Okay. Yeah. What time are you speaking at, so we can all arrive
on
time?
But it's at the very end. So probably
actually, all the speakers. We have a lot of distinguished guests, like our congressional candidate here. But he's going as a citizen, right? So it's all from 10 to 11 a.m. That's when all our speakers will be.
And what will you be speaking about?
A lot of what I just mentioned here. So the application of science and the importance of it to everyday people. And people who are not, it's like, I see that you're struggling a little bit maybe to try to find why should people care about science. And that is something that I think it's very important.
Well, Quita is not here today, but Quita always has the question, why would people care? So I'm taking Quita's spot. She always says that to our public. And to our guests, why would somebody care?
Exactly.
And to get people excited so they want to show up.
And it's a perfectly good question, because if you don't know what something is, why do I care about art if I'm not an artist?
Right.
Well, if I live and I go around and I see buildings that look really nice, I get to appreciate that. It improves my quality of life. Well, science does the same thing. Science, like one of the things that you mentioned before was the environment. So Scott Pruitt is weakening environmental regulations. And the environment isn't just the environment, it's our environment. So it's the air that we breathe, it's the water that we drink. And if the environment is polluted, then we have a lower quality of life. So it directly impacts us on a day-to-day basis. It's not some abstract thing that, 50 years from now, sea levels are going to rise, and then low-lying coastal countries are going to get pushed into other adjacent countries and start wars, which is going to happen. But there are things that happen or that are going to happen directly to us. And there are things that will influence our lives immediately.
I love that you said that just it's a one-liner, that it affects our quality of life. It impacts our quality of life.
Totally.
That's like so to the point when people think like, the environment, whatever, and plants and stuff that's out there. But when you're like, no, it affects our quality of life directly.
Exactly.
On a really large scale.
Yeah.
That's impactful.
Totally.
Yeah, that's,
so
and then the other
I don't
thing
like
too.
To really go political, but Chet is always mentioning the political impact.
Well, you just mentioned Scott Pruitt, and he's basically taking back so many regulations, almost trying to imitate what China has done. But if you've done like the research into how it's affected the people of China's health, all their lack of regulations there, the life expectancy in all those big cities there is like way lower than the life expectancy here. It's because a lot of like breathing or cardiovascular issues caused by all that pollution. So it's like, we don't want to follow that model.
No, certainly not. No. And people, One of the things that is a problem with the EPA is that it's been so successful. People don't remember how bad, even within my own lifetime. The first time I visited LA, it was miserable. My eyes burned, my lungs burned. And if you go there today, it's actually not bad. It's totally reasonably livable. If you go to Beijing today, it's pretty miserable most of the time.
Yeah, and that's just if you're there for a short period of time. If you live there, those effects has very poor quality of health, like we were just saying.
Exactly. So. You're going to live less long, and the life that you have is not going to be as good.
Actually, so I don't like to make this show too political, but how do you think we can make changes in our country here?
So one of the most important things, and that will actually help, and that is part of why I'm here, but one of the most important things everybody can do, and I knock on doors a lot. I talk to a lot of people. A lot of people don't understand civics. They think that voting doesn't matter. And so many people think that voting doesn't matter that if all of those people got together and voted, they could push the outcome of any election.
And make a difference.
And it would make a difference.
Yes.
People complain they don't like the politicians that they have. Well, run for office or support people like me, support people like Talia Fuentes, who are actually pushing for science.
That's right.
So these are things that you can do. And you don't have to devote your whole life to it, but just vote.
Focus on solutions by voting.
Yeah. If you live nearby, you go to maricopa.vote. It takes you 5 minutes to register. And if you get on the permanent early voting list, it does not take you any time at all to vote. They mail you the ballot. You mark your decisions. And hopefully you are informed. You spend a little bit of time Googling it and doing research before. But that matters. That is something that everyone can do.
It does matter.
Yeah.
So people out there, if you're listening, you need to get out there and vote. Can you repeat your first and last name so everybody knows?
I'm Scott Minor, and I'm running for Congressional District 5. And actually, if I might be able to mention something specific about that district that directly impacts science or it's related to it, Andy Biggs, the current representative in that district, he is the chair of the Environmental Subcommittee on the Committee for Science, Space, and Technology. And if you know anything about this person, if you don't know who Andy Biggs is, take 5 minutes, Google him. He does not belong on either of those. He doesn't understand science. He's scientifically illiterate. He doesn't understand the environment. And it's insane that people like this are making decisions that matter. And they're not just decisions that matter for the environment. They're decisions that make huge economic impacts in our lives. So if somebody, for example, extracts all of the natural resources from something, then we no longer have those. So we're no longer able to use those in a better way in the future. And that is going to lower the economic quality of life for everybody in the future.
You have a great voice for radio.
Thank you.
You really do. You sound really good. Everything you've said, I want to vote for you. I will vote for you.
I appreciate that.
Hey, everybody in this room, are we going to vote for him?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I just wrote down the maricopa.vote so I can register for early voting.
Please do that. Plug that as often as you can. I don't even care if you vote for me, but vote. It matters. Thank you.
Apparently, you had something I think you wanted to chime in.
I think it was when you were talking about the impact of the EPA. I just want, if you're already Googling stuff, look up Manhattan in 1973. It looks like Beijing now. And it's actually, like, you see a side-by-side of the skyline then and now, and you will know that the EPA has been saving lives by enforcing the regulations.
I had a question for Scott, too. Where'd you go, Scott? Here. Go over the mic. So it doesn't necessarily digress, but Elon Musk, I think a lot of people in this room can really have a lot of admiration and respect for. And so if your field is in robotics and stuff like that, what a big thing that Elon Musk talks about that's going to make a huge impact on our planet is artificial intelligence. So how do you think artificial intelligence could possibly help with sustainability or anything like that in the future? Do you think that it has any, that it's even in the same arena, or is there anything that it could do to possibly help with sustainability in any way? Or
sure, this is going to be, I'm going to try to condense a ton of stuff down to a brief answer. So artificial intelligence, what most people mean by that right now is machine learning.
Right.
And this is just, it's really nonlinear curve fitting. So taking a bunch of data and then modeling it and predicting things from it.
Right.
So what we've recently been able to do really well is recognize things in images and sounds and interpret those with machines. This was something that we couldn't do 5 or 10 years ago very well at all. So one of the things you can do with that is pattern recognition.
Okay.
You can do things like simple application that you might not think about in your car, the emissions control system, the ignition timing, all of these kinds of things. They depend on a lot of parameters. So there's a computer in your car, and unless you have a very old car, there's a computer in your car, and it is measuring all of these things like exhaust temperature, CO2, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, nitrogen oxides that are in the exhaust. Taking that data and then turning that into, this is the exact timing for firing the spark plug. That kind of thing actually can improve efficiency significantly. And there are a million things just like that.
Sure.
That you don't even think of. Like the switch that I was talking about before. In your house, usually your lights are much more intense than they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually, it'll keep you up if your lights are too bright. And you're using more power. Even if you have very efficient lights, you're using power.
So AI will just turn off all your lights for you.
Yeah. and actually, I mean, it'll happen.
It doesn't even have to be AI, but that's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Well, cool. I just thought that was an interesting
question. I love your question, Jam.
Thanks.
You always have great questions. I'm so excited. Don't you forget about us when you move to California.
I will.
You promise you're going to be back once a month.
I don't promise to be back every month, but I'll be back as much as I possibly can.
But one
can.
Show a month because we're going to pre-record.
For like the first 2 months. Great. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like it. All right, so welcome. Introduce yourself.
My name is Matt Jetty. I'm actually running for U.S. Senate, and so another politician here. Unfortunately, though, I think your IQ level just went down when I sat down. I once took physics and flunked in high school, so that's how I know about science.
So you live in Flagstaff?
No, I actually I'm a professor at NAU, but I actually live down here, and so I go back and forth, and I teach online as well. So I actually teach sustainability.
At NAU,
but I'm also an economist, and my PhD is in government, the economy. So I come from this from a different perspective, if you will.
And so you're running for U.S. Senate for Arizona?
For Arizona, correct.
Okay, yeah, exciting. So what changes are you going to be making if you win?
Well, I'm going to start with saying I don't necessarily believe.
You mean when he wins?
When you win.
Well, I'll be honest. I don't necessarily think that science is the answer. I think rationality is the answer, and I think that's the cornerstone of science. And I think a lot of people are scared by the word science, and we need to actually change that. Just like when you say climate change, I think that was a mistake. Global warming was a mistake. I think we have to actually start sustainability. I think we have to actually start talking about jobs and how that relates to the environment, green jobs, technology, and so forth.
I agree with you because that's like a solution.
It's a solution. I think it's an easy one. I'm gonna rock your world with another solution, which is a new idea, which is a universal basic income. And we just talked about how cheap animal products are to buy and to cook. And so if people can just have a basic income, they can actually probably eat better. And actually more plant-based materials. And so we actually can save the planet that way. If we can just give people a guaranteed income, we can solve healthcare, we can solve poverty, we can solve these things and have a better planet. Imagine that, a better planet.
I love it. I love your enthusiasm. Yeah. Chet, do you have a question for him? You're always at the let's talk politics. Let's talk politics. And here we've got somebody running for Senate.
We can talk
Pruitt.
We can go Pruitt.
Why are you putting me on the spot like this? We're just talking. But what one thing that is true is that AI, like artificial intelligence, is going to make so many jobs obsolete.
Oh, yeah.
Because just going to eliminate millions of jobs out of the workforce in the next 10 or 15 years, where universal basic income is going to be one of like the biggest talked about things in politics in probably about 5 or 10 years because of how many millions of people are going to lose their jobs.
That's wild to think about. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, we're seeing that in economics. It's called structural unemployment. And so those jobs are never coming back.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so we do have to address that. And that starts with the universal basic income as well as education.
I know, but I just think it's interesting because you don't hear very many politicians talking about it yet. But in about 5 or 10 years, everybody's going to be talking about it because so many millions of people are going to be affected.
And actually,
right now, isn't like fast food industry, like all those jobs are going to be gone in the next like 3 years.
Well, I think we can be real honest. The reason why you don't hear about a lot of politicians and talk is because we do live in a democracy and short-term focus, right? Capitalism and democracy is short-term focused, and therefore people vote what's going to happen next month and next year, not 20 years from now. So it's really, even people with families, with kids and grandkids,
that is such
still
a good point.
Do
we
not
care about
vote
it now.
for their loved ones. They just vote for right now. That's why our schools in Arizona are 49th out of 50. We just do not care about the next generation. So we have to start asking ourselves what words, and I want to hate to pick sides here, but there's one side that actually is trying to create a narrative to change the vocabulary, the language around
about?
It. Yeah, exactly. Well, remember I called you unicorn, the Republican that believes in science.
Well, that's the thing that I want to explain is I don't think there should be two sides. It's
no, absolutely not.
Love our planet. It's called care about our planet, and both sides should care about it.
And I agree. Period. And I think we have to find the language that actually gets to that message. And I think we have to, and I think, Dawn, you mentioned it earlier, where it's got to be a multifaceted effort, not just science, but it has to be economics and government and so forth.
Right. I mean, there's a word for that. It's scientism. And there's a whole lot of reasons why using solely science as your solution will not work. There are complex problems that can't be solved by just the scientific method. We can analyze the problems with the scientific method, but all of the solutions that requires more than just say physics or something like that, right? So
if you look at the environment, the environment it's a delicate balance, and I like to call there's a competition taking place with every organism, even in your body. Right, man comes into the environment, we're monopolists, right? We take over, we're taking away from that, and there's no pushback on us. And the only pushback we have is our rationality, right? For a long-term view of what we're gonna look like as in a planet, right? So I think that is one aspect we have to look at for Republicans, Democrats, independents. It's not, like you said, it does not matter what party you belong to.
Doesn't matter.
It really just matters what you wanna be. What kind of future do you want? What kind of culture do you want? What kind of economy do you want? What kind of society do you want? In fact, what kind of society you would demand, to be honest.
And high so I five, think, what society you demand. Yeah. I love it. Because we're saving the planet
one show at a time.
Jason, why do you not have a mic? I need you over here. You need to grab one of these.
We have such great guests, and you have such great questions.
Well, no, I want you to join the party.
Yeah, no, I'm
get over
dancing,
here and ask
I'm
some
dancing.
Questions.
Wait,
just
no parties. There's only one party.
Really happy,
one party only.
Matt, I'm really happy that you could be here to be able to bring all that knowledge that you have. You know, as a sustainability student, I'm just snapping in the background. You know, let that brainstorm reign.
Yeah, and if I can say something about sustainability, I think there's a
we
couple.
We want you to keep talking because you're really raising some great questions.
Well, there's a lot of models out there in the environment that we can actually use in the economy. For example, biomimicry. Right, there's service and flow. There's things that the environment already does that we can actually use, incorporate in our economy to have a healthier economy if we can just look at the environment for it. But we actually use the environment as a good, and so we try to deplete the good versus actually using it to jointly. I don't know if I'm making any sense on that one.
Yeah, I totally. I was curious. Okay, if it's a short answer, I don't know if this is. But what's biomimicry and service and flow or something?
Yeah, service and flow is like if I take an Uber car or if I have a bicycle that I can share along the roads. When I was in Boston going to Harvard, you would park your car.
You went to Harvard?
I'm a Harvard grad. Yeah.
Wow, no wonder why you sound so smart.
I don't have the
he
voice.
Is smart.
I don't have the voice is the problem. And so service and flow is I don't have to own it. Right, I just need the car when I need to go to a grocery store, but there's a car parked there, and I can just go and use that one.
I didn't know there was a term for that.
It's the same thing as the biology that we see every day are actually operating economic models that we can actually mimic. Right, for example, the coral reef is doing some amazing things by itself. Well, we're whitewashing it by now, but we know that story. So there's examples all through the entire environment that we can actually use for our economy. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Right.
Great question. Well, you know, our show is about solutions, not problems. And, you know, we have to address the problems, but then we want to have solutions. And so voting you in, you're going to care about our planet. And what would you do? Or when you win, what are you going to do? What changes are you going to make?
Well, let's be, I think we got to get the right people in the right places. For example, Pruitt is got to be removed. I think we have to actually put intelligent people back into government. We can't.
But
the unfortunate
yes.
thing, though, is I feel like even when Trump fires Pruitt, he's just going to replace him with somebody just as bad.
Well, let's be honest. I think he's going to fire Sessions and move Pruitt over there, and then he's going to fire Mueller. So I think that's the step, and then he's going to replace the EPA. But remember, the EPA has been on a downgrade since the Bush administration. They've been blacking out words and phrases since George W. Bush. So this has been a long-going process of from that party to do that. But in our society, for some reason, we don't even like intellectual people anymore. We put them in a closet. These individuals, I don't want to have a beer with my president. I want my president to be better than me.
Yeah.
I want them to have an IQ that I don't even understand.
Have you seen Idiocracy? Have you seen Idiocracy? It's like a prophecy now.
But it's like to Tocqueville, though. Tocqueville and Democracy in America, he actually, before Idiocracy, by the way, great, great movie. But in Democracy, you get it's like regression to the means, right? And I think that's what we're seeing in our voters. So people need to, one, be educated, and two, be passionate, and three, go vote.
Passionate, and spread your passion to others.
Absolutely.
And don't sit around and think about, I'm so upset about this, and straws, and this. Get out there. Go to the restaurant and say, quit serving straws, and, start driving an electric car, and start trying to implement veganism, right?
Yeah. And one other thing that's important is not, taking part in identity politics. So basically, if somebody disagrees with you, you shouldn't just shut them out and say, you're wrong and you're an a-hole and we're done here. You need to be able to meet in the middle and talk through your problems, because then you might be able to change their mind. You might be able to open their eyes to the truth of the situation. I know a lot of people that just kind of won't even give somebody a conversation, but you have to kind of work through it and try to open their eyes. You know?
I completely agree, but I'm going to push back on one little thing. When you have good and bad, if you compromise with bad, there's going to be bad in it. So I think when it comes to the environment and climate change, there is no compromise on it. There's only one way.
I didn't mean compromise. I want to clarify.
My apologies.
I didn't mean that.
But I think we've reached a point where these problems are so big that the solutions have to – we kicked the can down for so many years that the solutions have to be that big. And so you need politicians, you need elected leaders, you need citizens that have the courage to actually go out and make that change.
Well, and that's what our show's doing. We have convinced so many businesses to start being sustainable and to start having vegan recipes. In fact, Jennifer and I were plotting today about how we're going to go to these restaurant owners to try to get more exciting dishes that are vegan, because people don't want to go vegan because the vegan options are so bland. I know when I go out with Jam, he's like, that restaurant's not good. And people that aren't vegan, if there's a big group, they go to the restaurant where the vegan can eat. So the restaurant that wants to make the money needs to start having more vegan options, because more people are turning vegan. And if you don't have good vegan options, guess what? You're not going to do as good, because we are all going to do vegan once or twice a day. Yay! Because we're saving the planet
one show at a time.
Woo!
All right, now,
Jason.
Yeah, so to save the planet today's show, what we're going to do is we're going to play Taboo for Science. So, Taboo for Science, as we were talking about that, we have to come together to know what we have to be talking about. Now, there have been words in the past year that have been banned by the Center for Disease Control and Department of Agriculture. So I have the list of those words. We're going to divide up with teams.
Intelligence.
So we're going to divide up in teams. Boring. So let's see, who's going to play? So we're going to have, Scott and Matt, you guys are going to play. And Don, you're going to play too. Who else is going to play?
Well, can Don be on my team, or Scott be on my team?
Okay, all right, so everyone who's going to play, go outside. You're going to play too? Everyone's going to play, go outside.
This is like a 5-minute game, but it's going to be fun. Ha
ha! Okay. So everyone's going to play is going to go outside.
Rock and Robin, you need
a
mic.
I'm going to read the list of words.
You need
a mic.
So just
make sure we have an even number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We need one more. You want to join in? You're a student?
Yeah.
Okay, you're a student. Okay.
Lizzie's
going to join in.
Lizzie's going to join in.
Okay.
Bailey, you join in.
Well, no, that's odd. Yeah,
go be part of the contest.
Chet, you want to join in too, or you want to be a commentator?
He's commentating.
Okay, all right.
Chet, scoot in. We need one more person.
We need an even number.
But when she films, it's easier.
So I'll play.
Close.
I'll play. Okay.
All right, I'll play. Read the list of words right here, and here's the pile of words we're going to take from.
Okay. All right. So, to all of our listeners out there, the contestants have exited the room, and so these are the words that have been officially banned by the Center for Disease Control, the Agricultural Department,
go out of the room, guys.
The EPA. Those words are vulnerable, entitlement, diversity, transgender, fetus, evidence-based, science-based, climate change, adaption, and reduce greenhouse gases. So those words have been banned from reports from any one of those government agencies.
The one that said adaptation, it was the word above that. It had quotation marks, so those two words plus adaptation, which was...
I said that.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Are you not listening?
Okay, sorry, I wasn't listening.
Okay, all right, we're going to...
Apparently.
Okay,
team number one, team number one. You can get a picture of me and Chet.
Okay, so, yeah, so come on over here, actually. There's the pile of words. Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to rotate. One person's going to take one of the words. So you're going to take a word, and you have to try to describe that word without using the word.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And.
Does he need to see it?
Musical chairs.
No, you can't show them a word.
Here.
You can't show them a word.
Lizzie.
The whole game.
Lizzie, right here. Well, she has to get to the words.
She needs to sit up here by us, I think.
Yeah, because the words would be in the middle.
Wait. Okay.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to be timing. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Set, go.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, God. Okay. So the thing that we're talking about, it's the march for something.
Science.
Okay. And then there's two parts, two words. And, you need a microphone. I don't know how to do this. Okay. What things are built on, or what you call like
the foundation?
Kind of. Okay. Oh God. Like a cost. Okay. I don't know if you're analyzing something. It cost. I don't know.
It costs something.
Yeah. I don't know how to do this. I don't know this one. I don't know how to.
Science.
Something is.
Something foundation. Science based.
Yes. Oh. Thank you. Good job.
Wait, Chet needs a mic. Well, Lizzie and Al, share one. Everyone, pass your mic down. Chet needs a mic. Okay, there we go.
All right. Where's the next word?
Okay. Where are the words? Where'd they go?
Where'd the words go?
I don't
know. Where'd they all go?
Where are the words?
Seriously, I have no idea.
I don't know. Okay, all right.
Well, oh my God.
Check their pockets.
So where's the words?
What?
Is there a fan blowing around?
Say right there. Okay, so you got down to... Because of time, we'll just see how fast you can get down to one word.
Happened?
So that was 1 minute for the first word.
Okay.
How did that happen?
Is that all of them?
How did that happen? Okay. So, all right. So you got 1 minute for the first word. So we're going to, because of time, we're going to bring the next group in, see how fast they can get one word.
Okay. Wait. Who won just now?
No one.
One word complete.
Okay, hurry up. One more word.
How'd you guys do?
I got one word.
Not so well. Just grab one.
I'm okay.
So Chet, tell everybody what they're supposed to do with this game. Guys, we have a game if you're listening.
I'm gonna take it.
It's a science game. This is trying.
You can't use that word.
2 minutes and count.
In the green room's doing a fun game,
well,
I don't know what the prizes are.
Hey guys.
Okay, what are we doing?
Grab a word and then you have to
describe it to him without
the prize is a date with Pearl.
Okay, ready and
just kidding, Pearl.
Yeah, and then you have to ready and go.
Ignorant.
Something that's changing.
Oh, you can't say the word.
Oh,
I didn't change.
Change. Oh, we won.
No.
We won.
No.
Climate change?
Yeah,
weather. Climate change.
Disqualified.
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 Jam is disqualified.
Boy, you guys should have explained the game a little bit more.
Okay, let me do another one.
You had one rule, Jam.
One more. Okay, something that is unique. Something that's unique. No. So with people, there's a lot of different. It starts with a D. Can I say that?
DNA.
No. But everybody's different.
I will allow it now.
Everybody's
but
different.
No more of that.
Oh, what does it rhyme with?
Kinga.
No. Okay. So we're all different types of people. We all have a lot of
drama.
No.
I'm sorry, not everyone has drama.
Okay,
my
what
bad.
Is it? So we all have a lot of we're all different type of people. Oh God, it's okay.
What is it?
It's diversity, but there we
what?
Go. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, wait.
So we got
it's time.
We need a sound there, Rock and Robin. Bonk. Bonk. All right, we have one more minute.
Wait, one more minute. We got one more minute. Okay, we got one more minute.
One more minute, and then Jam's going to do a song.
What?
And then Jam's going to do a song, so we have one more minute.
I'm bummed out now.
Time's up for the show. It's time's up for the show.
It would be good if they had the drama instead of diversity, though.
We're in the green room. In the green room.
All right, there we go.
Saving the planet.
One show at a time. I wish I had a better understanding of this game.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man. Next
one rule, you can't say
transgender. They banned the
Thank you for listening to In the Green Room. Join us here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. or anytime on demand 24/7 on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.